We welcome each one today to our worship assembly. We are privileged to have visitors come our way, and we are encouraged by your very presence. Today in our assembly, we have Brother Roy Pratt and his daughter and son-in-law. Roy told me he's 97. Can you believe that? 97. And here he is on the Lord's Day. Roy and my dad were great friends. Roy has been a preacher of the gospel for a long time. He said he wants to preach again when he's 100, so I think he'll probably make it. We pray for individuals' health and long life, and we appreciate so much his influence. I tell him this story. Years ago, I don't remember who was preaching. I think it was my dad, but he was preaching at McKinleyville. You know where McKinleyville is, don't you, Roy? me and a couple other fellows, I'm not going to mention any names, but anyway, my brother was one of them, maybe a couple brothers and another fellow. But anyway, we were sitting in the back, very back row at McKinleyville, and something happened that got us tickled. I mean, it started, and we could not. Have you ever been in those situations, you know, in the assembly? It never happens, but we got tickled, and I knew that my dad was going to lay it on me when I got home. And I did everything I could to keep from laughing, and the longer we sat there, the worse it got. And my dad came back the aisle, and he took us out. And there was a fellow with us. I'm not going to mention his name. He was on Facebook a while back, and he said, Eddie, do you remember when we were at McKinleyville and we all got tickled and your dad took us out? And he gave me a whipping, too. But Dad always told us, you know, he said, if you are bad, just wait till you get home because you're going to get it. And we did, and so did he. But anyway, happy Father's Day to all of you in spite of the whippings you got. We appreciate our fathers. A family was seated down to eat their dinner. Jennifer was the 5-year-old daughter. Andy was the 3-year-old son. Jennifer said to Andy, "That's not your dad." The family really got startled and thought, "What in the world is she talking about?" Andy said, "It is to my dad." Jennifer said, "No. God is your heavenly father. Dad is your homely father." I knew you all would get that. There are many things that we need to say about fathers, and I thought today I would combine some principles in regard to parents, both mothers and fathers. It's a very difficult task that parents have in teaching their children. I've been there. To know what is right to say, what is right to do, doesn't always come easily. But there are biblical principles that are amazing. When we look at, first of all, honoring God, our Father. He is our Creator. He sustains us. And so out of respect for Him, we as fathers, and even grandfathers for that matter, have a tremendous responsibility in seeing to it that our children and our children's children have a proper example and upbringing. Many are failing our world in the role of fathers, grandfathers, and mothers. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we didn't have this read, but one of the great principles that parents need to learn is to teach their children from the time they get up to the time they go to bed. And talk of God as they go through life. Find opportunities to talk about about God to them and teach them great lessons. In the passage we had read so ably a few moments ago, there are some negative depictions of the people of the earth. And one of these is that I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. I was talking to someone this past week, how grieved God must be as he looks upon the earth today and looks at his creation. The depths of sin and despair, the rebellious attitude that multitudes of people have against God, it's hard for us to comprehend, but it's happening. And then he says, the ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people do not consider. Consider what? Consider what's going on. Making sure that always we realize the responsibility that we have to our God. Alas, he says, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers. A lot is being said now in regard to Charleston, South Carolina, and the killings, the murders that went on at a church building in that city. And the comments that have been made is, how in the world can somebody do this? I don't know. I don't have an answer to you, except they're evil. The devil's working overtime. Sinful nation, he says in this text. He says also, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers. Pretty descriptive, isn't it? Children who are corruptors. I think we live in a day when that could be said. Children are corruptors. Very small children are doing their best to create havoc and evil in our society. I've mentioned some of those statistics before. It's hard for us to imagine 8-year-olds and even younger engaging in some of the illicit things that are going on in our society, but they are. Drunkenness, fornication, abusive attitudes of all kinds. Isaiah says, ah, sinful nation, a brood of vipers. When we look at all of life, I'm sure you would agree there is no magical formula. We cannot take our wand and just say magic, you know, abracadabra, please and thank you. That's what we used to say. And things would just magically change. There's not any magic formula. But righteous men sometimes do have unrighteous children, and that's been seen throughout the Bible and even throughout history. I've often thought of Abraham. Abraham, the father of the faithful, the father of many nations. In Genesis chapter 18, the Bible tells us of Abraham. He taught his children. Maybe that's why he was a great leader, father of the faithful. Because he taught his children to follow the law of God. But there were bad kings and there were good kings, and some of those bad kings had bad sons. And they followed and walked in the evil ways of their fathers. And we can study our Bibles and look at the bad influence, the bad things that they did, walking in evil ways and influencing their sons turned out evil too. We usually use the expression like father, like son, don't we? More truism to that than maybe we think. But in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, the writer there says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. One does not become spiritually minded by accident. There is no magic formula. Now, when I'm talking about spiritually minded, I'm talking about walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. I'm talking about having a mind that's centered and fixed upon spiritual things. When we came to worship this morning, I hope that we decided that we were concerned about spiritual matters. And we were going to think about spiritual things. Now, how to teach our children those matters is oftentimes difficult because there's no magic formula. To get their mind centered and fixed upon spiritual things is difficult when they want to go out and play. And they want to go out and do other things with their friends and neighbors. But there is a time when we can sit down and talk to them about spiritual things so that they can have a proper mindset. Parents must be spiritually minded. Children must see for themselves what their parents believe. The Proverbs writer, chapter 13, verse 22, said, "A good man leaveth inheritance to his children's children." A lot of folk are concerned about inheritance, right? Children maybe can't wait for their parents to die so that they'll have an inheritance. Think about what moms and dads have done for us. I was thinking yesterday about all the times that I've been able to spend with my father in gospel meetings and worship assemblies. He's gone now. Not able to experience that anymore. But I can remember that I needed to listen to the instruction of my father. And I need to pay attention to the law of my mother. My mother could use a switch just like my dad. Some of you were relating to me the other day about the old willow switch, you know. It wasn't very strong, but I tell you, it hurt. I know some of you had experiences like that because you told me. And we thought, well, we'll go out and get a limb off the willow tree and it won't hurt quite so bad. But it did. Stung. Mama'd say, you know, one of her favorite phrases, you've heard me say this, God knows. God knows. That reminder constantly in my mind from my mother and father helped me to realize that a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Goes for a long time, doesn't it? So that throughout all the Bible, we have all of these references. And one I've just mentioned, a good man, it says, leaveth inheritance to his children's children. We listen to the instruction of our father and don't forget the law of our mothers as we go through life because they were concerned about our spiritual well-being. I know my parents were. They wanted me to have that spiritual mindset. And so the Bible says in Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is her daughter. The New King James says, like mother, like daughter. We teach our children to be spiritually minded. They need to see for themselves what we believe as parents. Secondly, parents need to purpose in their heart that they're going to be spiritually minded. I'm going to serve God with all of my being. I'm going to center and fix my mind upon God, His Word, and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, success or failure? I want us to really think about this. Success or failure as parents? I don't know, as you think about life, what really matters as far as success. And when we say that we are failures, what does that mean? We are failures as a parent. Or we are successful as a parent. Well, success or failure in life, according to Scripture, and this is another principle, is determined by whether or not they, that is our children and even our grandchildren, are conformed to the image of His Son. Oh, how we fall short, don't we? When we try our very best to follow the Savior because He's perfect and we are not. When in the Bible, remember Samuel's mother said, I'm going to give my child to God, to Jehovah. I did that when our first boy was born and then thought about it the second time when the second son was born. The vow that I made was that I'm going to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to the very best of my ability. And you remember those words, I will give him unto Jehovah all the days of his life. 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. No greater desire to have than that. That we devote our lives in the bringing up of our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We give our children a lot of instruction, but maybe not the right kind. Children are under constant pressure to conform to the ways of the world. When I was a teenage fella, I had temptations. You other men did too, women. And the pressures were sometimes very, very difficult to get us to conform to our friends, our neighbors. The world. And Paul says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Remember that? Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. Parents have a lot of pressure too, don't they? From their peers. So it goes without saying that what we need to do is to realize that we need to purpose in our hearts to be spiritually minded. That means that our goal in life is always to put God first in our lives. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Our children tend to become what we as parents stress in life and what we give them by speech and by example. I saw a commercial yesterday, the day before on television. I don't even remember what commercial it was. But the national anthem was being played, and the young son's dad was there, you know, paying attention to what was being done, taking off his hat in respect. And the little boy looked up at his daddy and took off his hat and put it there. You don't see that much anymore, do you? So those physical things, we say, are not really all that important. And there is a country western song about a son picking up words of his father. I don't even know the name of that song. Brad might know. But anyway, where did he get that language? He got it from his father. That's where he learned it. So they're listening to what we say, they're watching what we're doing, and listening very carefully. But not only that, what are the things that they see stressed the most in our lives? Is it job? Is it money? Is it sports? Is it status? You know, Rome fell because it was concerned about sports. That's just one thing. We're becoming a nation that's consumed with sports. LeBron James, I saw the other day, I think it's $12 million, his salary. 2 years. That's a 2-year contract. I could be wrong. This is on CD, so we'll just try to erase that part if I'm wrong. But that's a lot of money, isn't it? But we emphasize that in our society. That one is great, one is terrific because of the amount that they're paid in regard to sports. Parents must train for spiritual mindedness. Children should know what our goals are for them. I want to read with you Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Here's what it says. For I have no one like-minded, he says, who will sincerely care for your state. For all, he says, all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Why would people do that? Why would people seek things that are not their own and not the things that are of Christ Jesus, our Lord? Well, we need in our lives to train our children in thinking about making decisions and thinking about, in their lives, goals that are very, very important to them spiritually. What is it that really is a value to us in life? For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Does that pertain to us? As parents, grandparents, teaching and training our children. Be able to discern between good and evil, Hebrews 5 and verse 14. The exercise of the mind, the exercise of study, the exercise of learning. Being able to discern between what is good and what is evil. Some don't know the difference, right? They really don't. So whose responsibility is it to teach your children the responsibility of being able to discern between good and evil? Parents. Train them to be spiritually minded. Maybe we could ask, what is it that God would have me to do? What is it that really pleases God in my life? And then finally this morning, parents must prepare the mind for spiritual mindedness. I mentioned this recently to somebody. I'm beginning to believe it more and more. I could be wrong. Kind of like the guy that said he made a mistake, but he wasn't too sure about that one. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's pretty emphatic, isn't it? And this is my view of things. We are living in a time when people do not think and reason for themselves. Maybe they expect it to be handed to them on a platter of some kind, like that magic formula that I mentioned a while ago. Just give me the formula and my kids are just going to be A1. And I'm going to be A1 because I'm going to follow a formula too. And so in life, we prepare ourselves well for the life that God wants me to be engaged in. At times, it means, perhaps, we need to help our children choose their companions. Evil companionships, evil communications corrupt good manners, good morals. If we're trying to help our children to be spiritually minded, that means we want to try to get them to have the very best of friends. Right? And so we involve ourselves in the lives of our children and even our grandchildren to help them to select those who are going to help them along life's journey. I'm sure you have had in your life some great close friends who have helped you more than anything in the world. We'd probably say our wives are right there at the top. But we've had dear friends through the years who have encouraged us and strengthened us and helped us make the right decisions in life. That's great, isn't it? But to know that we have parents and grandparents who will aid us in seeing us through life so that, as we sang a while ago, heaven will be our home. I know my name is written in the book of life. Do you? We sang about it. And it was very positive, wasn't it? I know my name is written there. I hope that it is for you as well as me. We need to ask God's help. James chapter 1 and verse 5 talks about the importance of prayer. If any of you lacks wisdom, as parents, sometimes we may feel that we're not very wise, right? Well, don't use God as a last resort. He's the first one we should go to. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Well, children need to hear you pray. Children need to hear you pray. Not only that, but we need to teach them how to pray. Teach them that God is our Father and that we're able to ask Him for the things that we have need of. Know that He's going to give them to us. We're going to be blessed. Prayer will affect our own attitudes. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Why? Because God gives liberally to those that ask Him. This morning, though, if you are not yet one of His children, why not become a Christian today? As a matter of fact, we might even ask, why are you not a Christian? Why have you delayed in regard to doing what God wants you to do, setting the example of becoming one of His children? If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you've started the journey. You need to repent of your sins. Our Lord said, except you repent, you all likewise perish. We are to acknowledge with our mouth that Jesus Christ is God's Son, because that's what we believe in our hearts. Children need to know what we believe. And we continue to believe that all the days of our life. And we acknowledge it to others. And then we're baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of our sins, arising to walk in newness of life. Some in our assembly have been privileged to maybe baptize their children. I've even seen children baptize their fathers, mothers, grandparents. It's not a matter of who does it. It's a matter of what we're doing when we do it. Because we know that when we're immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, arising to walk in newness of life, it is a new life. And we're to be faithful all the days of our life. We remain faithful. We don't just start and stop, start and stop, start and stop. But we remain faithful all the days of our lives. What a great example. It might be that you're a wayward child and neglectful of your duty. Then repent of that, acknowledge it to the Father, and pray to Him that He forgive you. And God is faithful to forgive. That's His promise. We're going to sing the song that's been announced as a way of encouraging you to come and make your desires and wishes known as we stand and as we sing together.